Yeah, those four Super Bowls they won during the 70s. I think the greatest team in the history of the National Football League, the greatest era, was that 1970 Steelers team. And you know, you talk about building through the draft. He starts off his first 2 years with Joe Green and Terry Bradshaw in back-to-back drafts. And then in 1974, in the same draft, they draft Lynn Swann, Jack Lambert, John Stallworth, and Mike Webster. So that's a pretty good building of a franchise, and then he put them on the field. I can just remember we played them my rookie year down in Tampa, and it was Jack Ham's second year, and they were right then talking like they were going to break through that year, and they did. That was the year that Franco Harris made the immaculate reception. But I remember in preseason, everybody on the Colts, I mean, the old guys, Unitas, Mackey, all those guys were saying, that Steeler team, that's really going to be a good team. And they were right. And they gave us, you know, really in the 70s, it was the Raiders. It was the Steelers. And in the AFC, anyhow. Hey. And then it was the Colts, and we just couldn't beat them in the playoffs, either one of those teams. They just gave us fits up and down the line. At one point, during 75 to 77, I think we won 29 out of 33 games, yet we couldn't beat those two teams.
That's amazing. And you mentioned Chuck Noll in the draft. Now, obviously, he didn't invent the draft, but he did refine it. And you look back at the 69 draft, Stan, you just mentioned. O.J. Simpson ranked came out number one to Buffalo. George Kuhns, who later was a teammate of yours with the Colts, was number two to Atlanta. Leroy Keyes to Philly. And then Mean Joe Green to Pittsburgh. John Kolb in the third round. And L.C. Greenwood in the 10th round. You were a 17th round pick. Greenwood was a 10th round pick. And that really laid the foundation, didn't it?
Yeah, you have to have those ones that you get lucky on. I mean, if you're a 10th rounder or 17th rounder or something, and you end up playing, and then you end up being as good as L.C. Greenwood was, you know, I mean, Raymond Berry was what, a 20th round draft pick or something
how about
like that? I mean, it was obviously, it was less sophisticated in the scouting back in those days, but still, you know, to get a Hall of Famer at that point, you know, it really just adds to the success he has. And I mean, the Ravens do it now. Look at the undrafted free agents they've had, you know, Priest Holmes and right on down the line.
Bart Scott,
you know, just they've added to them every year with, you know, guys that are really good football players that Donnell Ellerby.
Donnell Ellerby, absolutely.
Help them win a Super Bowl. So you just have to, you got to, as Eric DaCosta says, get a lot of picks because a lot of it is luck, and the more picks you have, the more luck you can have.
Hey, Stan, you know? Let's talk about that. The NFL draft right now is just this mega, mega event with a lot of resources that teams put into it. The Ravens certainly put as many into the draft as any team and have reaped the benefits. But back in 69, did Chuck Noll and his staff do anything different at that time? Did they put more scouts in the in the field looking at these guys? How did they come up with some of these drafts? And were they on the cutting edge of something new?
Yeah, they were. The group called Blesto that started in the Steelers. I think the S in that Blesto was for Steelers. That group, they sort of got together and pooled their resources to be able to get more information on the draft. But you know, you get a lot of information. It's what it's who is able to discern that information. Even now, I mean, 50% of the NFL first round draft choices, you know, don't make it. You know, don't make it big anyhow, and don't even start. You have to be able to discern which guys are going to make the transition from college to pro. It's tough to tell because I've seen guys who all of a sudden when they're getting a paycheck, they play a lot harder. They do things they didn't do in college. They take care of their bodies. They eat right. They do these things when there's money on the line. And then you see other guys who have been so good that they think they can just coast in the NFL and they don't make it at all. So, it's the old story of the talents that you get. You use all talents you got a shot. You know?
Yeah, we're talking with Stan White, of course, the great Colts linebacker, member of our broadcast team now here at WBAL, and the death of Chuck Noll, who passed away yesterday at the age of 82. And Stan, the younger fans won't remember this. The older Baltimore fans would. Chuck Noll has heavy Baltimore ties. He was an assistant to Don Shula with Don McCafferty, who was the offensive coordinator, won the Super Bowl. Noll, the defensive coordinator, won four. Bill Arnsparger, the defensive coach, architect of the great Miami defenses under Don Shula. And John Sandusky, Jerry's dad, was a great coach. What a staff under Don Shula there.
Well, I got Jerry's book in front of me, Forgotten Sundays.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have a pitcher phase in it. And that picture of that staff is in there. I'm trying to turn to it real quick right here, and because I noticed that too. What a short staff it was too.
Yeah, six guys, right?
Right here, the Baltimore Colts 1964 coaching staff: front Don Shula, left to right in the back: Chuck Noll, Bill Arnsparger, Dick Bielski, Charlie Winter, John Sandusky, and Don McCaffrey.
Whoa! I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, now if you see a picture of the Ravens staff, and it's almost as big as the team.
Yeah, you got as many quality control guys on the staff now as you did assistant coaches back then.
Yeah, I know. John Harbaugh has almost as big a job managing the staff as he does the team.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, Chuck Noll, again, his defensive mind at that particular point. I remember the old Colts ran a 4-3, didn't do anything elaborate, and I remember the Steelers didn't do anything elaborate. But, man, they had some players. You obviously played on the same side of the ball, so you didn't study a lot of film of them. But what did they do defensively? Did they do anything different other than have just some of the greatest players in the history of the game?
Yeah, it helped to have like five Hall of Famers on
exactly,
that.
Exactly.
And they had Andy Russell too, and Jack Lambert, linebackers, and
Mel Blount, Mike Wagner.
Yeah, Mean Joe Green and L.C. Greenwood up front. I mean, just. Mel Blount was the first of the big corners that just dominated people. You couldn't get off of them. So, yeah, they had great play, but they played an aggressive defense. They didn't sit back and wait on you. They came after you. They got in your face, man-to-man defense, and they gave you all, gave you fits. I think it's only one time we got them. We were playing here in Baltimore and we beat them like, they scored two late touchdowns, 31-7 late in the game. We just had our way that day. But every other time, we just had problems with that. In fact, that 74 season that we talked about with Lynn Swan, Jack Lambert, John Stallworth,
rookie
Mike
year,
Webster,
yeah.
We played them the opening game of that season. We thought we were better than they were, and I think we ended up winning two games that year. And they won the Super Bowl. And because we didn't know who Jack Lambert was. We had heard of Lynn Swan, but tell you what, John Stallworth was a much better receiver than Lynn Swan was. We didn't know who Mike Webster was. Their line, they were the first ones that, had the bulging biceps out and the cutoff sleeves and all that stuff. They were intimidating looking, that's for sure.
Hey, one last thing. When you talk about the great coaches of all time, you usually start with Lombardi, and then you hear Bill Walsh and Belichick and Shula. But you rarely hear Chuck Noll. I mean, I think Chuck Noll on my list is probably number two behind Lombardi because of what he did with the draft and how he changed the dynamic of football even a little bit more. Maybe Shula in front of him because he did it for so long. But Chuck Noll, is he underrated as a coach at all? Can you say that?
I think so. It's like Phil Jackson in the NBA. They say, well, he had Michael Jordan and he had Shaq and but those guys never won until Phil Jackson came and coached them. Michael Jordan didn't win a thing until Phil Jackson came along. Neither did Kobe Bryant or Shaq until Phil Jackson came along. And same thing with Chuck Noll. I mean, the fact that he had like nine Hall of Famers, people may look at it and say, well, anybody can coach.
But he drafted him. He's the guy who brought him in.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, just because you have nine Hall of Famers,
that's true.
Mean you're going to be a great team. You got to make a team out of great players. I mean, you've seen, look at Miami Heat struggling against the Spurs right now.
Yeah.
Because the Spurs are playing better team basketball than the Miami Heat is. Now, Miami Heat's a great team on top of that, but they just aren't playing as one right now. He got them to play. One year, Bradshaw got hurt, and they started off, I think, 1-4, and they won nine straight games. And I think they gave up like 28 points over those nine games. The defense just took over. And that was it. They could do whatever. They could beat you defensively. They could beat you offensively with a running game, with Bradshaw throwing deep. Bradshaw had, one of the greatest arms ever in the history. He and Burt Jones, to me, have two of the best arms ever that ever played the game.